The reading this morning is taken from Galatians 3, verses 1 to 11, and can be found on page 1184 in your church Bible. So it's Galatians 3, verses 1 to 11, pages 1184. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I'm Simon. And wasn't it a lovely wedding yesterday? Those who came would have really enjoyed the time when Joshua and Helen were married at St. Paul's, and it was lovely to see their faces as they turned round. I'm looking around you, and some of you are smiling. You remember that sight. Talking about youth, and we do think of Josh as being young, don't we? I'm reminded of the story of the boy who's been to a youth service at church, and he's speaking with his family over lunch the next day. Now, when I say boy, you have to think of Kevin. Kevin, as in, of course, Harry Enfield. And he's been to a youth service, and his family asked him, what was the service about yesterday? What did the speaker speak about? And he said, he was talking about sin. And his father said, well, what did he say about it? And he said, well, he was against it. And In this passage, well, you know Kevin too. In this passage, it's easy to latch on to the lists of the sins of an earthly nature, and perhaps to fail to pick up on the tremendous message of hope. And the text I'd like to just turn to and remind you of as we start today is in verses 2 and 3. So if you've got your Bibles open, I can't see the page number because I've got a different Bible. 1184. Oh, it is the same page number. That's great. Same printer, obviously. So, verses 2 and 3. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Let me just repeat that. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And I'd just like to pick up on that expression, hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? How have we died? And what does it mean to be hidden with Christ in God? And of course, when we give our lives to Jesus, when we accept him as our Savior, we put to death the old self. The old self is gone. In that moment, we accept Jesus, our old self has gone, and we are reborn. And that, of course, that's symbolized in the sacrament and the public statement we make in baptism by being under the water and then risen again. There's a choice we make, and we signify that in that act. But the very fact that Paul is writing to the Colossians means that we have to be reminded of that. They had to be reminded of it. We have to keep on being reminded that our lives now rest safely locked away in Christ. He is our life now. We're in Christ, and we have all the benefits that Christ has as the beloved Son of God. Now, The connoisseurs of British comedy. I'm going to look around because I can see. When I say connoisseurs, I mean those who are older. You know, sorry. But those will remember Alan Bennett's comedy sermon. My brother Esau is an hairy man, but I am a smooth man. Do you remember that? I'm looking around. You can remember. You can. I wish I could. I should have played it. Actually, you know. And of course, the comedy sermon goes, you know, all sorts of different directions, and it's rambling around a bit, maybe a bit like this one is going to be, but I don't know. But the important point is that way he says it, and he focuses on the hairy man and the smooth man. I always thought that if I ever write an autobiography, and I don't know why I will ever do that, that would be my title. My brother is an hairy man. Because it would be a good one. It would be a good title, wouldn't it? But of course, the sermon is really referring to, the smooth sermon, is picking out those words from Genesis 27. Now, just a quick reminder of the story for those who may not remember it. Esau and Jacob are the sons of Isaac. And Isaac's eyesight is failing. That's a key thing to understand. His eyesight is failing. He can't see very well, perhaps not very much at all. And he wants to bless his son Esau, who is the hairy one. And he asks him, he goes out hunting to hunt for some food, to make a choice stew for his father. And when he comes back with the stew, he's going to put his hands on him and bless him. But Rebecca, mother, seeks for Jacob to be blessed. And she gets a goat, and they kill the goats, and they put the goat skins on Jacob, so that Jacob, when his father touches him, feels as hairy as Esau. They didn't mention smell in this, but they, but that's the idea. And he is blessed by his father because he is like the son he loved. There's a parallel here, isn't there? The parallel is that when we accept Jesus, when we become of him, he surrounds us. When God looks at us, he sees not what we were, but he sees his beloved son. That's what that verse is about. We're going to sing a little bit later a song from the 70s, and it has this line: when he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus, because Jesus covers us. We are covered by Jesus. When God looks at us, he doesn't see the things that are horrible in us, the things that still are not dealt with. He sees his beloved son, Jesus. So just remind ourselves that verse. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And it reiterates the most important truth, that we're bound to Christ forevermore. So let's look at what that means. We experience unconditional love. Nothing can separate us from God's love. When Martin was marrying Joshua and Helen yesterday, he said these most important words: what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And that's true of us and our relationship with Christ. God has joined us together. Before God, we have no flaws, no mistakes, no sin. We are justified before him, and Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. That's an amazing thing to say. When he looks at me, he sees not what I was, not even perhaps what I am inside, but he sees Jesus who covers me. And later on the service, we're going to sing the words, "Before the throne of God above." And we sing that our plea before God can only be that one word, Jesus, because of Jesus, not because of anything in me, but it's because of Jesus that I have a right to be before the throne of God. Not because of anything in me, anything I've done, any anything that's good in me at all, whatever that might be, but it's because I claim Jesus. That grace covers us completely. That God chose us and he calls us friends. We have forgiveness in him. And we have an eternal future. Let's look at verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's forever. This is not a temporary thing. This is forever. And in Christ, our old life disappears, and newness describes what God describes us as God's children. He provides for all our needs, and we are sanctified in Christ. And that we have the peace that surpasses all understanding. All these things are true. They're all true simply because Christ covers us and we have given our lives to him. If we read 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 30, we know that God's sovereign word made it possible for us to be united with Christ, to be in Christ, to have an identity with Christ, to be hidden in Christ forever. We made the decision, you made the decision to have Christ dwell in your heart, and he's fulfilled his promise to you. So why don't we always behave in that truth? That's the rest of the passage here. It says, put to death, therefore, because of that truth, put these other things aside. You don't need to behave like that anymore. We don't have to behave as we used to. We're covered, but we don't have to behave like that. Why don't we do that? We don't always embrace the wonderful truth of knowing that God sees us through the lens of Jesus and through the lens of grace. We don't get rid of the images of ourselves that don't come from God. I mean, look in your own heart. As we go to the communion service, we use the words, let every man examine himself. If you look in your own heart, you know that we're not perfect. You know, I know. I know how terrible I am inside. I know the mistakes I make weekly, daily, hourly. And you could become completely dominated by that. But we know that we're covered by Jesus, and that before God we are deemed righteous. We don't reject those poor feelings, the opinions of others, the labels, and even our own circumstances, our successes or our failures, which define us sometimes, don't they? I struggle, as I say, every day. But here's the fantastic news. Despite our failings, we know that God has not changed his mind about us. He never changes his mind about us. If I do something wrong, God has not rejected me. He does not reject me. He loves me. And he covers me with the precious precious blood of Jesus. And Paul is asking in this passage for the Colossians, and that's us too, to live in the truth. So, you know, if we're hidden in Christ, it doesn't matter what race, colour, gender, ethnicity, religious background we have, it doesn't matter anymore because we're all transformed. And as we look at this world, you know, the news yesterday from El Paso in Texas, are we not seeing a world where racial tensions are inflamed, where we see violence, we see hatred, and we are called to be utterly different, where we are all friends, family, together. I didn't get to choose my sisters. Those of you who've got family, you know, you don't get to choose them, do you? You know, sometimes you wish you did. Let's be honest, right? You get to choose your friends, don't you? But you don't get to choose your family. And we have that experience of growing up together. In fact, we don't get to choose each other. We are here not because we chose each other, but because God has chosen us. And we're all here together, and we're all bound together as one family. What right have I got to think any less of you or you of me because you know that I am covered by the precious blood of Jesus, and so are you, and so are we all? And if God is willing, accepts us like that, then what right have we got to behave any differently? We're family. And if we're hidden in Christ, there's not a single thing that I can do or say that will make me any more acceptable to God. Do you know, that's amazing. So, I mean, so if I play some wrong notes today, which, by the way, I really have, it doesn't make me unacceptable. And if I get it right, it doesn't make me more acceptable. It's irrelevant. Because God loves me as I am, because he's covered me with the Son that he loves. So why do we pretend that there is? Why do we think we've got to strive harder and harder and harder to be the people that we think God wants us to be? Paul's telling us we need to just accept that Jesus has done the work for us. And then knowing that, living in that, be the people more and more every day that the people that he wants us to be. So in verse 5,